All right, now, first of all, it's important for you to realize that the very beginning has already been done for you, which is why you already have a streaked plate sitting out. So ignore number one. Ignore number two. And then start with number three. All right? Now, you have five plates sitting out, but only one of them actually has bacteria on it so far. That's the one that has the streak on it, obviously. So these are E. coli. Like I said, that's what we're using as our species.
Pardon me. You're only doing P. coliplasma, not S3.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Thanks. Yeah, that's a good point. Ignore any mention of S3, not only in the instructions, but in any question that deals with it. Because we're only using one plasmid, the P-GLO, like I said, not the S3 plasmid. So this first experiment of the two that we're doing doesn't take as long, but get it over with. Do it carefully, don't rush through it, but get it over with so you have enough time to do the other one. We're using the E. coli that grew on that plate that is streaked. Those are run-of-the-mill E. coli. So those are the ones that don't have the P-GLO plasmid in them, right? They're just natural E. coli. You're trying to get them to take up the P-GLO plasmid, which is why you're doing the steps of the experiment. And like I said, most of them won't take it up, but some will. The ones that don't take it up will be killed if they happen to be on one of the plates that have ampicillin on them. But notice that your four other plates that don't have any bacteria on them yet, first of all, don't open those until you need to use them, but make sure you use the right one. They're labeled differently because even though they all look the same, they have different ingredients in them. So there's an LB plate, an LB with ampicillin. The LB alone does not have ampicillin. There's two that have LB and amp, and then there's one that has LB, ampicillin, and arabinose. Okay? So you're plating all of these, according to the instructions, and you're using these little plastic loops that are in your bag to do that. Don't touch those, except for the handle. Don't put them back when you're done. These are one use. And since they're plastic, that means you're not going to flame sterilize them. That would just melt them, right? So they're sterile in the bag. Use gloves the entire time today. Use the loop once, you know, one for each of the four plates, and then put it loop up in your waste beaker. Handle down. Okay? That's the way to do this correctly, but this is just following instructions, basically. On the second one, the purification one, the book is written as though what you're doing is waiting on the results of this first experiment and then using your transformed bacteria to start with to purify the actual GFP, because you won't see the results, of course, of this first experiment until after the bacteria have grown. So it's kind of like a cooking show. You know, they skip right to the prepared meal. They don't have you watch it bake in the oven. So that's why you have broth out, these red topped jars or tubes that already have bacteria growing in them that have the P-GLO plasmid. Alright? So they if they have the P-GLO plasmid, that's the DNA, remember. That's not the stuff that glows. But if they have that bacterium and they have arabinose present, then they will switch that gene on and they'll produce actual GFP. That's the protein itself. That's the stuff that allows it to glow under UV. And the idea of the second one is to purify that protein, because that's an important process, like I was talking about last time. If you have a protein that you're studying within biotechnology, it's important to get enough of that protein in pure form so that you can study it. So that's what you're trying to do in this second experiment. And you're going to be using little spin columns. That's the white tube that has the little greenish tube within it. And don't touch any of this stuff with your bare hands. Wait until you have some gloves on. But that's really kind of like a little filter. And you're going to be spinning stuff through it, and it's going to allow the stuff you don't want to just go through the filter. And the protein that you do want is going to be stuck on the stuff that makes the filter up. Which is not too useful if you're trying to use the protein. So you have to do what is called elution. To elute means to let go of, to free it from the from binding to the fibers within that filter. So that's why toward the end of that procedure, you use what is called an elution solution. Once you know that the only thing that's still hanging on to the filter is the stuff you want, the protein, the GFP, then the elution solution will allow that protein to let go of the filter fibers and come out. So, of course, first you would spin it into a tube that contains all stuff you don't care about, the waste that goes through first. Then you would spin it in a different tube. And by, what I mean by spinning in a different tube, the filter itself, notice, goes into other tubes. The outer tube collects whatever comes through the filter. So you collect all the stuff you don't want first, put it aside, use a fresh collection tube with that filter, with the elution solution that's going to release the protein into that new container. Does that make sense? Okay, so follow instructions very carefully and ask me questions as you go, but you already have, you've already used all the kinds of equipment that we're using today, so you should just be able to get through this. All right, let's go.